Hi, this is Chaim Goldman, The Watchman, and this is a peak bonus interview with Glenn Holloway. We just finished interviewing Glenn on our broadcast show, and so this is the bonus footage where I turn to the guests and say, what do you really want to talk about now that we're off the air? No, because there's always so much to talk about, and Glenn said he wants to talk about the power grid and sort of the big trouble that we're in here. If you don't know, the power grid that goes across the entire United States is not very well protected. In fact, you see the substations all around. There have been tests around of taking them out. People are worried about a pulse, you know, but that's a major happening, and Glenn will get into that. But what do we need to do to harden the grid and protect ourselves, because we become such an electronic society that without electricity, basically, it's game over in more ways than one. So, Glenn, welcome back. If you could just give us another, a 30-second, just for people who maybe didn't hear the first interview, just your background, professional background.
I'm a retired lieutenant colonel out of the Army, and I was dual combat arms and some other stuff, but literally the part that impacts this is the fact that I worked with the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, and I worked on weapons of mass destruction and was a critical infrastructure chief for the Department of Defense, meaning every time we did an operation, I had to look at the 10 critical infrastructures that would support that operation. And of course, one of the major ones is the grid, electronics, and what's going on and how that all works, because that is the controlling factor. Years ago, I briefed the president on, you talked about an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, and what that would do. Well, as we have continued with the development of the electronics in the world, we've continued, people you dumb down, electronics you micro down. You get it so it runs on less and less and less voltage and runs and runs and runs better. The problem with all that is the fact that then it takes a whole lot less to destroy it. One little flare could take out a whole area of the grid, and then you're stuck trying to get it back up because it's been overwhelmed. So, and the problem with that is that everything runs on that. A couple of years ago, Texas resident David Tice, he discovered a documentary in progress, and it's finished up, and you can see it now. It's called Grid Down, Power Up, and it's on the net. Grid Down, Power Up. It's a documentary, and it goes into what happens if the grid goes down. What do we do, and what are the effects? There in Texas a couple of years ago, the grid went down and it had rolling blackouts and all that. And everybody's like, yeah, it was no big deal. Until they started figuring out that over 700 people had died as a direct result of the fact that
it was so cold out.
Well, it was cold and there was no traffic lights and people running into each other from car accidents. And there was, and the medical system had gone down and people that needed their drugs didn't get them. And so they died in the hospital for lack of medications. It has this.
Right. It snowballs. Yeah.
Yeah. It just snowballs down and you don't make that connection until you realize, well, what is the common factor? And the common factor, of course, is the fact that the grid controls all of it. It's all done through computer systems that run every part of our lives. And now it's even going to get scarier because you take those computer systems and you add in an artificial intelligence that is now monitoring everything. And if that all goes down, you haven't even got a person that says, whoa, that doesn't look right. Something's wrong there. We need to fix this real quick. It may not happen.
So the thing that's actually running it is also electronic.
It's also electronic.
So what are the threats to the grid? I mean, we've heard about that, Chinese and others may have inserted code into our control systems, all to a pulse, which is a major thing, detonating a nuclear weapon in order to force that. But it also can come down to the ability of even an individual to take out a local substation. What do you see as someone who assesses, danger? What are you seeing?
The danger goes, like you said, all the way from the fact that it would only take 3 nuclear weapons 25 miles up in the sky going off over America, and we are back to 1870. Or it goes forward to a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember the news story of they arrested a guy in California who was driving around with a .30-06 and just shooting transformers, and that one went out and that one went out, and everybody's like, well, it was no big deal, but then they realized if he'd got one or two more, then all of Los Angeles or part of Los Angeles would have just gone into blackness. Or there are places in America where major communication centers and or lines are only buried 2 feet under the ground. They're marked with these little yellow poles, and you're driving down the road and you go, oh, hey, look, there's a cyber cable.
Call before you dig.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff, right? Yeah. But so you stop and you dig and you take out your axe and you chop through it and you drive away. And somebody says, well, did you realize you just destroyed all the, you know, the communications on the eastern part of town with one little swing of the axe? Well, if you're a terrorist, you go, yeah, I did. I knew that. And what's going on now with the border? And I hate to make that transition, but
no, but that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, we don't know who's coming in, but we do know they're not for America. That we stopped a guy a boat coming into La Jolla, and just north of San Diego, the other day, and they watched all these people get off the boat and run into town and get into vans and drive away, and they did a face recognition once again, electronics of this guy, and he was a colonel in the Iranian army, and they stopped him. They said, "What are you doing here?" He says, "You'll soon find out." Well, that was recorded. We know that's true. So what does all that mean? Well, that means we're probably setting ourselves up for some kind of an attack. And a cyber attack is probably the easiest one to do locally with lots of little groups out there. And it has a far-reaching effect, which means that, you know, your water plant, which is all running on an electronic system, stops. Your food delivery schedule with the truckers and the processing plants all stop. The medical system that's bringing you in the drugs and that is rolling out the ambulances to find you and everything else goes down. And you got nothing but chaos because there's no grid controlling anything. And when's the last time you took out a stubby pencil and a piece of paper and went, I'm going to do my books and I'm going to write all this and do my taxes? Oh, no, that's even all done on TurboTax and kept in a grid someplace or up in the cloud. Well, the cloud could go away. If the cloud goes away, how much data is lost and how much control and data that you have put in there just for your individual life?
Or your money, who actually has physical money, right?
Which,
right.
Oh, I'm glad you said that, right. Because, yeah, physical money. But now, as of last July, the government's passed the transition to digital money. And there's going to be a process of turning in your dollars starting this next year. So we don't have dollars floating around. We don't have to worry about them. It's all digital, like Europe went a few years ago, and they found out that didn't work real well. So it's the cyber situation is one that's very, very concerning because it could lead to massive chaos and a lot of deaths just down to a whole collapse of a society over a period of time.
Okay, but you're a person of faith, and you have hope, and you prepare. I mean, are we giving false hope that we can really survive this? You know, as you said, there'll be a lot of people die, but I'm talking about as a whole nation. How do you prepare even for something like this?
Well, you prepare by that by teaching people how to get prepared. You should have generators. You should buy things that don't run on all that low amperage and have some ability to have communications like we talked about yourself that doesn't require that. You can stick stuff in Faraday bags and Faraday cages. A Faraday cage or a Faraday bag is a metal bag basically that grounds everything around it. So if you have an electromagnetic pulse, it doesn't destroy it. You come out of it still with a piece of equipment that's going to work. You teach people how to do that. You run your generators to keep your food systems going, or you stock things that you can just put in and that you know will last 5 years, and so it's no big deal. You can pull it out of the bucket, make a meal, and you're good to go. The rice, the beans, the dried meats, and all those types of things. And I'll tell you who's really good at it, and I'm not trying to push one religion over another, but the Mormons have got this figured out. And if you go to their preparedness manual, which they do make, and it's online for free, it has a lot of good information in there, and we have adapted a lot of that for local things under Radical Resilience to say, hey, here's some different areas and how that we think you should do that, which generators to choose, which equipment to do. So there is hope. Even if you had a major EMP attack, we would be back. We'd be kicked back into the 1870s for a while, but through good leadership and good management of people, within, I think, a year or so, we'd be back on and running again.
The question, where do we find the good leadership now, much less at that time, to take us through this? I mean, this is why we need to be the good leadership. We need to be the people in our neighborhoods who know how to do this, because a lot of people are going to be clueless. They're not going to be prepared, and you're going to want to both hold on to your own stuff, not have it because, you know, people are going to come to you, hopefully not to take your stuff, but if you can help them, right?
Well, and that's one of the things we're working on right now pretty hard on radicalresilience.health, though. We've got documents out there. We've got some videos. I have a live streaming TV station I've set up in my house that we're doing recordings on, and we have done recordings on medical during COVID which would help people. They could go, they could learn how to be their own doctors and diagnosis and how to get the supplies and how to administer the supplies like ozone, which is the only thing that will cure Ebola. So we have a cure for it. We just got to teach people how to use it.
Mm-hmm. How much time, and just have about 30 seconds left, you know, for, you know, end of the world type of scenarios, how many months of good should you have?
Oh, of supplies?
Yeah.
Minimum of 6 months, and if you can, get a year.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn Holloway from Radical Resilience. Go to radicalresilience.health for more information. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
I'm Chaim Goldman, The Watchman. Thanks for listening to this bonus interview.